Welcome to the X-Line, the show all about the Fuji X-Series cameras and the stories behind the gear. I'm Mark Sadowski, and this is episode 4, I Am Fortune's Fool. Before we begin this episode, I wanted to just take a moment to thank everybody who's given the show a lot of support, and by that I mean we've had some people that gave this show 5-star ratings on iTunes. I've received emails from people that have enjoyed the episodes, and I wanted to say thank you very, very much for your support, and I am thrilled that people are actually enjoying the stories. It's been great hearing from everybody that's written. If you want to share your thoughts or share your story, feel free to email me at xlineshow@gmail.com or leave me a comment on the website, thexline.com, and just share your thoughts. I am always thrilled to hear what everybody has to say about their own experiences with the Fuji gear. And with that, let's start the show. Before the X-Pro2 was launched, before they announced the release date, there were a ton of pre-release models that went out to certain people for early reviews. And for the most part, people had nothing but great things to say about the camera. And I immediately pre-ordered my X-Pro2, but I was always hesitant. Am I doing the right thing? Am I going to be happy with the camera? And the first moment of doubt came when I saw the camera store do their YouTube video on the X-Pro2, and they said that the camera was great, but the autofocus wasn't all that much better than the X-T1. And that was the first, while it wasn't a negative review, it was the first review that I saw that really questioned my decision to pre-order the camera. And I don't remember where else I heard the same kind of review, but there were a couple more sources that basically substantiated the camera store's review of the autofocus being only marginally better than the X-T1. And that got me thinking, do I buy the X-T1 or do I buy the X-Pro2? Now, at this time, or at the time of my decision, the X-T1 was on sale for $999. Fuji was having their great big sale, and that would have saved me a lot of, you know, a considerable amount of money. And so I was thinking, you know, if it's only marginally better, then maybe I should just get the X-T1 and just rent the X-Pro2 later down the line. And so that's what I did. I am now the proud owner of a brand new X-T1 to you know, befriend the X-T10 that I have. And was pretty happy with it. I mean, I love the camera. Let's not mince words. I've been using the X-T1 with my 35mm f2 lens, and then the X-T10 is housing the 56mm lens. And it's a nice little balance. And I've so far only done portraits. I haven't done anything substantial. My first wedding isn't until this weekend. And so I got to think, maybe I'll rent the X-Pro2 just to see. And I wasn't planning on renting the X-Pro2 for a little while, but, you know, curiosity got the best of me. So I rented the X-Pro2. And, and so now here I am using the X-Pro2, regretting the fact that I brought the X-T1, because the autofocus is really good. Now, mind you, the X-Pro2 autofocus that I've tested so far has been on anything more than my dogs or my kids, which you could say that, you know, photographing kids is a challenge in and of itself. And still, I wish I had waited to buy or you know, just waited a little bit. And so I guess I want to take this moment to offer somewhat of a PSA for everybody. When reading reviews online, I think the best review that can be offered to anyone is to test it for yourself, because everybody uses the gear vastly different than somebody else. If you're a wedding photographer looking for somebody else's wedding photography review, you know, your style of photography would be vastly different than somebody else. Even though the photos that you take to another person may be similar in style, but the processes, it can be, you know, completely different. So this is something I've known, but I chose to ignore my common sense and went along with the purchase anyway. Now, granted, I'm not, you know, this is kind of first world problem. I'm not going to have any problems with the X-T1, but I could have waited just a little bit longer for the X-Pro 2 and, you know, c'est la vie. I'll just have to buy the X-Pro 2 another time. I'll have to get a couple more weddings under my belt, save up enough money, and then get the new camera. But I just want to share that. It's, you know, there's so much written on these cameras, and it's such a new world for the mirrorless system that we tend to look into as many different resources as possible. We look for any nugget of, you know, positive or negative feedback to see whether we can justify this kind of purchase or not. And in many cases, you know, a lot of us are within a DSLR system looking to lighten the load and switch to the mirrorless system. And so reviews around this time are pretty crucial. But I can't stress this enough, that the best review that's going to help you along and find the perfect camera is your very own review. And so I really suggest renting the cameras first, if you can, you know, kind of weaken that hold that you get when you see these cameras, because they are beautiful cameras. You can't deny that Fuji makes works of art. I mean, if you want to give them a proper comparison, I would say that they're the Apple of the camera world. I mean, Nikon has used their cameras in their ads, from what I saw a few weeks ago in Petapixel. So, you know, they are sexy cameras, and it's, I mean, I feel for the allure. I couldn't wait, but we'll see how it handles during this weekend's wedding. I will be using the X-T1 as my, I'm going to hook that up with the 56 millimeter lens. I'm going to have the X-Pro 2 with the 35 millimeter lens, and I'm going to have the 18 to 55 millimeter kit lens on the X-T10. And I'm going to use it only as the 18 millimeter lens and use that for potential big group portraits and see what happens. And of course, I'm going to have my Canon 5D Mark III sitting back in the ready zone just in case I need the oomph from the system. But it's going to be an outdoor wedding. I don't think I'm going to deal with many low light settings. I feel that I won't need to use the Canon, which would be so cool, because this would be my first time that I will be using the Fuji system exclusively. My goal is to use the Fuji gear 90% of the time, and then the Canon lens, you know, the rest of the 10%, maybe a little more. We'll see. But fingers crossed, and I will report back as to how well I did and all that fun stuff. But I wanted to, I mean, I can't stress this enough. There's many places out there that you can do your own tests. Lensrentals.com is the one that I personally use, but there's Borrowed Lenses. There's Lumioid, I believe, is another rental service. You know, give them a try and just experience the Fuji gear for yourself, because that is the only way you're going to know 100% whether the camera is right for you and your style of photography. And with that, I want to also add another PSA. There are virtually a ton of reviews out there for Fuji cameras. And I would have to say, I mean, just from my own personal point of view, that there's more Fuji information out there than any other camera system. And maybe it's because it's the allure of sharing the visuals of the camera gear itself. I don't know. Or maybe it's just that syndrome of, you know, you buy a certain car, and then as you're driving down the highway, you only notice the car that you just bought on the highway. Maybe it's that. I don't know. But here is what I have noticed with a lot of Fuji write-ups as of late. And I also want to preface that I am not trying to put anyone down at all, because I am hungry for information as much as the next person. And there are a lot of people that are very passionate about their Fuji gear that are more than willing to share their own experience. And that is awesome. I mean, this podcast is based on loving the Fuji gear and sharing personal experiences. So here is first my observation. And you know, if you've seen the same thing, definitely go ahead and share your personal experiences on, you know, email me at xlineshow@gmail.com or leave a comment on the website. But you will have the opening statement saying, I'm comparing this camera to another camera. And it, as of late, it's been the X-Pro2 with, you know, X-T1 or X-T10 or one of the other X-Series cameras. And they'll put out the statement of what they're trying to accomplish. And then it will be followed by many, many photos of the camera side by side. Then they turn it around and it's more camera photos side by side. Here's what the both cameras look like from the top. Here's what they look like from the front. Here's what they look like from the back. And then I've seen a bunch of them where it's like side by side. And then one other one where they put them on top of one another. It's like, oh, okay, we get it. It's a very sexy camera. I am not disputing that. But I understand people are trying to do a comparison. But I think sometimes it gets a little carried away. And then those show sample photos, which I think the sample photos are pretty key. And then there'll be a lot of sample photos, which I can understand, you know, needing to show different ISOs, different, you know, noise samples. Cool. I get that. And then there'll be a little bit more write-up. And then finally, in the conclusion, they will make another statement. And then finally, after maybe a long, just huge page, they will almost always say, both cameras are great. And that's the end. Now, I've seen like many, many, many articles as of late that have done this, that will follow this formula, and almost to the T, every single one of them say, yeah, they're both great. Now, I used to be, before I went into photography, I was actually a journalist. I wasn't a good journalist. I will preface that. I had my moment in the sun, and then, yeah, that's a whole other story I'll share another time. I think I used a Fuji point and shoot too. But anyway, the whole premise behind journalism is to get your who, what, when, where, why, and how right in the opening paragraph of your article so that you know exactly what's happening, you know exactly what's going on in the story in the first, at the very least, the first two paragraphs of your article. And then everything else kind of supports that, those first two paragraphs. And it's made because people have very low attention spans. It's been like that for God knows how long, ever since journalism was invented by Edward R. Journalism. Pleasant chap. The point is, you want to do the same with these articles. So if I could offer a pro tip to people who are writing about their experience with the Fuji gear, I would very much recommend having the conclusion first and then having your all those statements, all those examples follow what you've already concluded in the very beginning. And you might ask, you know, is I'm just giving it away in the beginning. What, why would anybody want to continue? Well, that's the point. You really don't want to waste anybody else's time. If your conclusion is that both cameras are great and you can't go wrong with either of them, start with that statement. And if people say, huh, okay, great, 2 seconds on the website and then I'm gone, well, you can have 2 seconds of a person's viewing time be a happy experience, or you can make that 2 minutes of somebody just scrolling down all the way to the conclusion and then finally reading that, that both cameras are great, and, you know, have that person feel that it's a waste of time, get angry at the article and have a bad experience. And I've noticed this in the comments of the, some long articles that would have that conclusion. Basically, people are saying, hey, this was a waste of time. You could have just said this in 2 seconds. So starting with the conclusion is actually a great way to earn people's trust. And they'll want to, they're more than likely, they're willing to stick around and see how you came to that conclusion. All right, here, you know, both cameras are great. Here's why. And I think that's a great way to keep people's attention and to earn your viewers, you earn your readers' trust. So that's a little pro tip from the journalism world. At least I paid attention to that. So take that if you, you know, however you want. There's a lot of passion out there for the Fuji cameras. I applaud everybody who's taken the time to do these tests and share their examples as to which cameras are better or show why both cameras are great in this instance. There's a lot of dedication that you're putting into. And the last thing I want people to feel is that they wasted their time with negative, you know, by seeing negative comments. So this is a great way to alleviate the negative comments coming in. When you give the conclusion right in the beginning, it's kind of a breath of fresh air for everybody. And your hard work into putting, you know, your testing and your, you know, the posting, because posting an article is a lot of hard work too. All that will be worthwhile, and you should be recognized for your hard work rather than criticized for it. And your intentions were noble. They were, you know, you sacrificed your time into making this, and you should be praised for it. Whatever outcome it is, it's your own personal test, and it should be treated as such, and you should be applauded for the effort that you put into it. So hopefully this will be a little bit of a tool that you can use to help you with future articles, if you are someone that is contributing articles to your own site or to any other site. So take that for what it's worth. And I applaud you for your time if you are one of those people. So pro tip. Finally, I just wanted to share something about the Across simulator that is on the X-Pro2. That is something that I've tested just a little bit, but it got me thinking about some of the actual Across film that I used, I think a couple of years ago. I had purchased a Mamiya camera off of eBay on the cheap. It was a manual focus, medium format that I wanted to play around with. I thought getting into film would help me with my photographic style. And as I was just on a film kick for a little bit. That happens every 5 years or so. But one of the things that I had purchased from B&H Photo is some Across Fujifilm. And I think I only purchased like two rolls of film. One of the rolls I totally messed up. I just, for some reason, it didn't. I overexposed it. Whatever I did, the film just didn't come out. But I had found some of my from the one roll that I did photograph well, I found them again, with the whole X-Pro2 coming out, and that being one of the selling features. I mean, I don't know if I want to say it was nostalgic. It's kind of hard to be nostalgic over something that I've only photographed a couple years ago, but I liked what I saw, and it's pretty cool to look at the actual film from Fujifilm and see how close they are able to simulate the actual film, and it's pretty intense. And here are the photos that I photographed. One of them is of my dad and my son sitting at the table at my dad's house. They were just looking at the iPad. I think they were doing a FaceTime chat. My son is a little bit out of focus. He was moving around a little bit, but my dad is pretty well in focus. And just the black and white quality is really, really awesome. It has so much more, not detail, but something about the contrast that just gives that image a little bit more life to it. And I will share these photos on my Instagram account. If you go to Xline Show on Instagram, you'll be able to see these black and white photos that I'm talking about. But the photo of my dad and my son is really one of the photos that I absolutely adore. And there's another photo of my dad holding my son. And I think my mom is trying to take something from his hand or give something to him. But now, by all intents and purposes, this is a bad photo that I took. The sun was beating in through the window, and it's overexposing parts of the photo. But the detail that the film was able to take of my dad's face and my son's face was pretty cool. And it has this life to it that I really am having a hard time describing. I mean, it's kind of hard to do. This is an audio medium. But again, it just feels very photojournalistic, very, very lively. And I just love having this photo physically to look at. And then there was another one that I took of my daughter sleeping. And I think this is a great example of that across that tone that the black and white has. She is fast asleep, taking a nap. And you'll have to check it out. But she's very peaceful, and it's a very soft tone to the photo, which kind of adds to her innocence in sleeping. And then finally, there's this one photograph that I took of a waterfall a few hours earlier in the day. And that's the best I could do. So you'll have to bear with me on that one. But you can check them all out on the X-Line Show on Instagram and see for yourself. But the film simulations that Fujifilm has been able to produce is pretty exquisite, because they put a lot of work into their style of films, and to be able to continue that tradition with their digital cameras, I think, is pretty profound. Because I mean, these films they just add so much flavor and character to the photography. Like I said before, the best example that I've been able to give you as to when you look at a photograph taken with a Fujifilm camera is equivalent to that magic you feel when you're watching a movie on the big screen, and you know, you're seeing it at 24 frames per second, and you might be able to, you know, the movie will have some film grain, for those that remember that there were film movies. But there's that film grain to it. There's that imperfection added magic to it. And then the 24 frames per second add this other characteristic to the movie that separates it from our perception of real life. And it just gives this movie depth and allows you to be lost within its story. I think seeing, you know, the latest Star Wars movie that was all shot on actual Kodak film, and you know, I was happy to see that during the movie, to notice that there was that film grain within the movie. And it's just magic. And that's what Fujifilm is able to proudly recreate in their film simulations. And I'm so thrilled that these are not just merely filters that they add to the photographs, that they are actually processed a little bit differently than a normal photograph would be. And that's really cool. That's really reassuring. And something that I honestly wish Kodak would have done, and I guess it's still not too late to see this, because one of the things that I absolutely loved about Kodak film was the Kodachrome style. And when that went away, it was, you know, I think it was bittersweet for everybody. But every time that there's a film that dies away, you know, we kind of lose a little bit. But that's one thing that we really don't have to worry about with Fujifilm, because while sure, you know, film, certain types of film will eventually die away. Maybe, I don't know. You're looking at least recreating that in another medium, another technological fashion. And for them to do that with their digital cameras, I think really holds true to the, you know, their history, I think. And for us, the consumer, whether we're professional or we're just photographic enthusiasts, this is something that we can carry on, carry that tradition on, and share those, you know, stylistic photos for years on end. And, you know, maybe one day Kodak will do that, because Kodak has some really nice film that I wish would make it. And I think the classic chrome that Fuji implemented was a great way to carry that Kodachrome tradition, even though that Fujifilm isn't Kodak, to be able to pick up that ball where Kodak dropped was a smart play for them. And I think it showed with everybody's passion for that style of film simulation. And when people were upset that the older Fuji cameras couldn't do the film simulation, I think it struck a chord with them. And sure, it might have angered some people, but it also showed that how passionate they are for these film simulations. And I think it's very important for us to carry this on. And as I look through these photos of my family, you know, my daughter sleeping, taking a quiet, undisturbed nap. My dad and my son sitting there taking the picture. You know, I could have done this with any old camera, and you know, I would have had a photograph. But you know, there's just something more memorable about these. There's something that just really sticks in your memory about how important that particular moment was. And it really captures, you know, the joy that they were experiencing. And I don't know. I don't think there's much more I need to say about that. I think, you know, seeing the emotions, seeing the joy is all that you need. So once again, I want to thank Fujifilm for keeping that torch alive. And I can't wait to see many more film simulations to come. I honestly don't know how many more film simulations there are that are Fujifilm, but I'll be pleasantly surprised. And maybe there'll be more, you know, brand new inventions. Who knows? So there you go. That was episode 4. I hope you enjoyed it. I entitled it Fortune's Fool to show my tiny, tiny regret into hastily buying the X-T1 instead of the X-Pro 2. But, you know, lesson learned. And, you know, ultimately, I'm not disappointed at all, because the X-T1 is a superb camera. And I've captured some great photos with that. A lot of great portraits of my family. And it was really, really awesome during Easter time when I was able to photograph my sister's family, my brother's family, and you know, all those little Easter moments with the kids. And, you know, I did that all with the X-T1 and the X-T10 and had no problems whatsoever. And it was awesome. It was pretty, pretty great. If you enjoy these shows, please head on over to iTunes and leave a review and a 5-star rating. If you don't want to leave a review, simply, you know, leave a comment in the iTunes review section. Let me know what kind of camera you use, which of the Fuji models are you using, or which of the Fuji models are you most looking forward to buying. Share the knowledge. And a 5-star rating, it really helps the show in search rankings so that other Fuji enthusiasts can find us. You can also email the show at xlineshow@gmail.com. You can find this on Instagram at XLine Show, or go to the website at thexline.com. In a couple days, I have my first wedding of 2016 to photograph. I will be using the Fuji X-Series cameras heavily in this one, and I can't wait to report back as to how the X-Pro2 performed, as well as the X-T1 and the X-T10. So with that, I will see you guys next time. And once more, thank you for listening. Music for this episode comes from Bensound. For your royalty-free music, go to bensound.com.